Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Welcome back to another Sunday Night Live. It is New Year's Day. And so, well, I guess I should say New Year's evening. And so I just want to introduce my guest today. I have Miss Sonia Mercer with us. How are you, Miss Sonia?
I am great. You?
I am good. And so here we are, the evening of New Year's Day of 2023. I don't know if I'm going to be able to remember to write 2023.
Oh, yeah.
It takes me
a month or two.
Yeah, I've already been thinking about that as I've been dating stuff. Oh, wait, what year is it?
Yes.
So, yeah, so New Year. So do you have anything that that is an old tradition or anything that you used to do for, like, a New Year's or anything like that?
We do black-eyed peas. Erin makes a black-eyed pea soup that I look forward to all year long to get to that one day.
It's a soup.
And so
I'm going to get that recipe. That sounds good.
It's much better than just black-eyed peas. That's kind of boring.
Yeah. Do you do cabbage?
No, we don't do cabbage. I like cabbage. My family probably don't.
I guess supposedly the old wise tales, cabbage is for prosperity.
Yeah.
We have added that recently, the last couple of years, having our cabbage and our black-eyed peas.
Maybe I need to throw some in that soup of his.
Heck yeah. You can't beat a good old cabbage soup.
No.
With a little bit of bean in it. Well, you know, I used to every year, and I know I talked about this last year, but New Year's resolutions, and we look at the new year and we see what we want to change in our life and or what we think needs to be changed. And I think sometimes we get caught up in the negative of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think it's easy to do.
And so we want to fix this in ourselves and fix that. And not that trying to better ourselves is not a good thing. And so then I started praying for scripture. And I started praying for direction, you know, like what God is leading me into in the new year. And I'm sad to say that I can't remember what it was last year.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, I find I don't have your typical New Year's resolutions. This year it was, I simply want to read through the whole Bible this year, where I'll do a study here and I'll do a study. You know what I mean? I'm studying the Bible all year long. But as far as just taking the time to read every bit of it, because you get to some of those parts that you're like, oh, God, is this ever going to be over? And this year I will have fulfilled it. And so I typically will have more on a spiritual, but it's for my own. And sometimes I get it. Sometimes I don't, you know. And,
yeah.
And that's okay. You just pick up the pieces, because if I miss it this week, guess what? Come tomorrow, it's a new day. You know, his mercies are new every morning.
That is a scripture I was just thinking of, is, you know, we think it's because the end of the year, all right, it's a brand new year, it's time. And then what, a month passes, or maybe even 6 months pass, and then you didn't finish it. It's okay.
It's okay. That's right.
Start over in the 6 months that you didn't get it.
Right.
Once you realize that you've gotten off track, it's okay. You don't have to wait till the beginning of the year to start
Absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely. And he can redeem things for us. That is the amazing part, where we miss it. He can redeem that time. And,
Over and over, mm-hmm. He has shown himself true to do that for me.
Yes.
So I know if he can do it for us, he can do it for you.
Absolutely.
Do it for our listeners. And so, yeah, we shouldn't get down on ourselves.
No.
You know, when we decide to set out, move forward in what we feel like God's telling us to do, and, you know, sometimes we miss the mark.
We miss it. And the truth is we all do it. It's not just these random people that feel like they're no good for nothing. We all have moments we miss it and we pick up the pieces. That's why that scripture is, mercies are new every morning. And we just have to cling to that. His mercies are new. Thank God that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and his mercies are new and it's okay.
You know, that's right. And, you know, I think about that because you said when we wake up in the morning, sometimes it could be after a nap.
Mm-hmm.
It's a period of going and resting, closing your eyes and just resetting. And then waking up. How many times have I felt like I'm going through something and I'm like, I just need a nap so I can go rest. And when I wake up, my perspective has totally changed.
Absolutely.
After I've had that time to just let my mind and my body just to reset.
I'll tell you, whatever you think about this, but I have figured out in 45 years of living life over the last year or two that if I have a moment that I'm having a spiral, whatever the case may be, I will typically go and I will lay down and I will try to go to sleep because it's the thing that will 100% shut my mind down. Well, you might say, Sonia, why don't you get in the Word? The truth is I will get in the Word, but I'm just trying to shut my mind 100% down because then you're right. When I wake up from that nap, guess what? I am fresh. I am new. And then I can get in the Word. I can talk to my husband and everything can be completely transformed to change because it's usually not as big of a deal as I have allowed this spiral to take place in my life, you know.
Right. And, you know, when you get in, because, you know, going back to reading the Word, when you're in the midst of that, when your mind doesn't shut down, it's almost as though you're reading the words, but you're not hearing it or you're not absorbing it. I say that because at least that's how I am, you know. So I'm just better off to just go and shut my mind off, go shut it down, reset.
Yes.
And then at that time, after, you're more able to hear from God and hear in his word or hear counsel from people that are around you.
I'll tell you, today I look back and think, it's such a funny story. It wasn't a funny at that moment, but because it caused me really to have a spiral of just, God, am I called to the ministry? Am I called to preach the gospel? But I had preached a Sunday morning, Easter to make it even, more, so it's a little more heightened. I preach, and I just happened, as I was scrolling through Facebook, clicked on a comment or whatever and read it, and it was completely bashing me. And it really caused the enemy used it.
Insecurities.
And so here I got two little boys, and I said, Aaron, I think I just got to go lay down. And that was it. I needed to reset my mind because that I had allowed that person to completely trigger me and cause me to have this spiral. But once I woke up, I was able to just say, this person don't even know who I am. They live somewhere up north. And what they were bashing me because I'm a woman preacher and then I was preaching the gospel. Why did that even matter? I can't tell you today why it did, but it was enough that I just needed to reset everything, lay down. Guess what? I woke up. We did an egg hunt, had fun with our boys the rest of the night, and it was a great day. But unfortunately, it did. It stole a little bit of that time, and I had to just take a moment, just reset, and his mercies were new. He was able to lavish me in his love and to let me know, no, Sonia, I have called you. I have appointed you. I have set you apart. Don't stop, you know. You're going to always have those naysayers, mm-hmm. but I'm saying, I called you, I created you for a purpose. And so now walk in that purpose kind of thing, you know.
You know, that is so good. I think we get in this mentality, we have to be perfect.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a lie. It's such a lie of the enemy, and it steals from us because we can't be perfect. We can't do it.
We can't do it.
It's too much pressure.
Yes. So we're talking about starting new things, and New Year's Day today, looking back of what the year, and I keep thinking, what was my word? Because I usually had given myself a word, and I know during when we had a women's conference this last year, and it was funny because, you know, you and I were talking earlier, but the word that he gave me was enough. And you and I had talked earlier, and that's one of the words that you had brought up.
Yeah.
I think about those things that when God speaks to us, why do you think? I'm saying this because I'm the one. We start the new year and we feel like God has really spoken to us and just really shown us what he has for us for the year. Why do you think we tend to forget? Why do you think we tend to kind of drift from that?
I believe we start coasting and we can't coast. The word of God is alive and it's powerful. And so when we don't stay actively involved in the word, whatever that means, you might read the Bible every day, but I'm reading just to get through it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Or I'm reading it because, no, I am going to meditate upon the word of God and, you know, whatever the case is. And I think sometimes, and I'm speaking, this is my personal Sonia, when I coast is when then I end up there. I struggle rather, whatever the case is. The struggle becomes real for me. And the sad part about Sonia's life is it usually takes me a little bit to realize, Sonia, you've done this to yourself. You're coasting. Now it's time to, why don't you really get in the word and let God speak to you through his word? Don't just read it to read it. Read it to get it inside you.
And do you think that we sometimes, we get busy with the things of life, which cause us to go into coast mode?
Oh, absolutely.
And there are things that we have to do, as a mother and as a wife mm-hmm. and as a teacher or whatever employment that you have, yes. There's things that you have to do, but we get caught up in those things and that puts us in that coast mode.
I would say 99% of mine is that right there, is I'm just exhausted. You know what I mean? So you click that alarm because you're like, I just can't get up yet or whatever it is. But 99% is I allow the busyness of this life, this world, and the things that's commitments. I have to get done. You have to get done. My family needs fed. We have a ball game here. We have, you know what I mean? There's
right.
just things. And unfortunately, those things then end up, I hate to even admit this, but it pushes the word of God to not be the number one place. And I know that sounds terrible, but I'm just being honest.
Well, and you know, me too. That's, you know, I'm saying that's probably what's happened to me. And, you know, you said turning your alarm off. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's been going on. I don't know if this, but over the last couple of days, my alarm has been going off. And I set it for 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's, you know, get up,
yes.
you know, spend your time, you know, all those things that you want to get done in the morning before you have to start your day. And I have hit snooze. Not, don't even laugh at me. Till 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you just lay there. A snooze goes off. And you know what? I would just feel better if I just get out of bed.
Yeah.
No. I just keep hitting snooze. And then at that point, I'm doing what I have to do. I don't get to do what I want to do.
And I don't know about you, but honestly, if I get my morning set right with the word of God, with prayer, with spending time in the presence of God, my whole day looks different than if I don't. Just to be honest, which this is so who Sonia is, I can get offended more easily. I can get my feelings hurt more easily.
Angry easily.
Yes. But if I can set my day right, it honestly changes the whole perspective at that moment.
And, you know, and that's our spiritual health. And we're talking about our spiritual health. And, you know, we talked about resetting our minds. You know, the battlefield is in our mind. And that's what we're doing when we do that is resetting our minds. And we're getting our mind prepared for that battle
right.
because it is the battle of the mind.
Absolutely. Renewing the mind.
Yes.
Because the truth is we have to renew our mind daily because even if you are not looking for something to fill your spirit up with something else other than the word, the enemy is coming after you. John 10:10 says the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And that's what we're teaching our boys right now. The enemy has no power in our lives. He's been disarmed, right?
Right.
The power he has, the power we give him. He has power through the things we see, the things we hear, the things we say, and the things we do. So he cannot have power over our lives unless we ourselves are actively engaging in something. Well, then the enemy's able to put that in our mind. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And taunt us with it. With look at you, you worthless enemy, or you worthless person, or
yeah,
or
you know, good for nothing.
That's right. Or like one of the things that we've even said, like drugs and drinking and all that. You know, how many people have you known that they never had done that and they thought, and not just teenagers in early 20s, I mean, you hear people in their 30s and 40s or whatever, and they think, oh, one time won't hurt me. And the next thing you know, they're addicted. And so I think even about that, so that one time and maybe thinking, ah, this won't hurt me. But that's why we need to renew our mind with the Word of God, correct? Because yes. The truth is that one time over here, the enemy is going to taunt you. But wait a second. No, I am renewed by the Word of God. And that was my old man. Even though that was yesterday, that was my old man. No, God, I thank you that you are restoring all things unto me. First John 1:9 says, if I confess my sins before him, he is faithful and he is just to forgive me, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I'm forgiven, God. I thank you, Lord. And so meaning we give power to the enemy, but when we renew our mind, when we put the Word of God before us, when we spend time in his presence, the things that we did in our past is renewed.
That's right.
And our mind is renewed. And the enemy, guess what, is disarmed again. But that's why you have to do it daily. Because he's disarmed today. But tomorrow, he's coming back. He wants to keep me at this place of, you know, good, nothing, rotten animal. You know?
Yes. Well, and the scripture says he roams around like a roaring lion, seeking to whom he may devour.
Amen. Yes.
He's seeking to devour somebody.
Who is
willing. And so it's being on guard. It's battling up. It's armoring up. It's preparing for the battle that's going to come. Because it's not if. The battle's going to come, but it's when.
That's right. And, you know, the scripture also says that there will be trials and there will be tribulations. Well, that don't come from God, because the end of that scripture says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. So it goes with, he is a roaring lion seeking whom he shall devour. He's coming to devour us. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. Stay in the Word. Greatest thing that, matter of fact, and so I said mine's always spiritual. That is really where I'm at is, so, okay, God, what do you have for me this year? What is it you want? And my prayer every year is this, okay, God, because it's easy to see where we missed it. And so every year I will see, okay, I should have done this. I should have spoke this. I should have been bolder here, whatever, you know. And I every year, okay, God, I missed it here, but I'm asking you to strengthen me. And I want to be everything you created me to be. And you've heard me say this. I might have said it on here before. My greatest fear in life is not here on earth. It's one day I will stand before my Father God and I will look him face to face. And I want to hear the words, well done. I don't want to see the things that my life was created to do and never have fulfilled that. But so often, because of the power I have given the enemy in years past, unfortunately, is the thing that he taunts me with. And so sometimes I don't fulfill those things. And I get to the end of the year and I'm like, okay, God, I will do everything you called me to do. I will be all you've called me to be. You know what I mean? I will say what you want me to say. I will go where you want me to go. You know what I mean? I just am an instrument. I'm the hands and the feet of Jesus. That every year, honestly, is my number one New Year's resolution. Not that it's a New Year's resolution.
See, I don't even call it that anymore.
Yeah. Because I will wake up tomorrow, and if I didn't fulfill it today, I am repenting, and God, okay, I give myself back over to you, you know, sorry, I missed the mark here. And that really, I don't know what I think about New Year's resolutions, because the truth is every day ought to be a renewal, you know, a resolution to be better today than I was yesterday.
You said that you want to get to where when you get to heaven, and you hear God say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So where do you get, how do you get to that point versus people that say, I just want to go to heaven? To me, that's two different ways of living.
That's a good question. When I radically got saved at 15, all I wanted to do was preach the gospel of Jesus. I didn't care who, what, give me a dog to preach in front of, you know what I mean? I did not need an audience. I just wanted to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. I've had this fire, and I've said it many times. I think what happened was I had a true encounter with Jesus at the age of 15, and that's something you can't take away. There's lots of things the enemy has tried to torment me over the years with, but that is one thing he has never been able to change. I will never walk away from the things of God because of that encounter, and because of that encounter, it has caused me to want to run after him. What can I do to spread the gospel of Jesus? Because I want to take as many people with me to heaven as I can.
That's good. Because, you know, I just think about that because it's such a, I can see it in your eyes and I can hear it in your voice that that truly is your desire. And I know of other people, not that I'm trying to compare or anything, but I have heard where as long as I get to heaven, that's all I care. I just want to get to heaven. Well, and all you have to do is believe.
That's right. That's the easy part.
That's the easy part is believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and he's forgiven you for all of those things. And there you go. You've accepted him. He is the Son of God.
And you know, Natalie, as you say that, I think what a sad, sad thing that is. And praise God they're going to get to heaven. Because that is, we want as many people to go to heaven.
Yeah, right? That's right.
But I think, so you live 90 years, 100 years. Let's give you 100 years you live here on earth. But then you live for all eternity, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. It never ends in heaven. And what I do here will be how I live there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to live however I want here. And you say, well, I want to live however I want. No, no, no. We have to understand. I'm working, not working, because we don't get to heaven by works. But my heart's desire is to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Because one day I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And what will be handed to me will be rewards. And those rewards, then I will turn around and I will lay at the very feet of Jesus. Well, I think about how many people will be on the sidelines and they'll see things like this of those great men and women. And I'm not talking about the big names we know. I'm talking about men and women that are just willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But they will stand on the sidelines and they will not have one thing to show for their life here on earth. I don't want to be a sideline person. I want to be the person that gets to go right before my Father and I get to lay but their rewards, the things that I've done here on earth, I want to lay them at the feet of Jesus.
Yes, amen. And you know, that brings me to something that we had talked about earlier. You said that God kind of has laid something on your heart, and you've kind of been moving towards the things that God has been laying on your heart. You know, you're looking at behind, and now we're going ahead for 2023. And would you be willing to share just a little bit about that?
Amen. Well, can I start with last year?
Yes.
I have never been a word person. I've seen people do words, and I'm like, yeah. Cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I usually scripture or phrase, but anyway.
And I've just never honestly thought about it. But as I was closing out last year, and I told you this, honestly, the word, and we got to this week, the final week of the year, and I felt that the Lord said contentment, Sonia. And I thought, contentment. And the scripture, Philippians 4:11.
Now, you're talking about last year.
This is last year, 2021, as we're finishing out that year going into 2022.
Okay.
And I felt that the Lord told me, Philippians 4:11, therefore, for whatever state I am, therefore to be content. And the truth is, I've struggled with contentment my entire life. I'll think, oh, I want to make crochet little scarves, and
yeah.
I'll get all the stuff to do it, and I'll go gun hold at it, and I'll do it for a few months, and then I'm like, eh. So the truth is I've just struggled with contentment in my life. And so as we are closing out, you know, 2021, the word contentment, I looked it up, and what it means is contentment, a state of happiness and satisfaction. Well, that's an area I've struggled with, remaining happy and remaining satisfied. And so listen to this out of Philippians 4:11, because this is the scripture that I believe that the Lord gave me at the end of last year. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I love that. For whatever state.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm lacking, I'm content. If I'm standing on the mountaintop, I'm content. What is it? I'm going to be content. And so I really have enjoyed that scripture, but I got a funny story to tell you. At the end of November, beginning of December, Gary Ware calls us up and says, hey, I've got this 06 rendezvous with 40,000 miles. That's a pretty old car, you know what I mean? And we've got our cars of, you know, they're nicer. They're not new by no means, but, you know, they've got leather seats and all that. Well, this rendezvous is a base model. It don't have the windows that, you know, you cranked. It does have power windows, but that's about the extent.
I think they all come with power windows that's now.
So it's base model for an 06 now.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, we bought the car
and it's my favorite car. It's the car that I get in. It's not the one, it can't go in the garage. We have a different car that goes in our garage. But I prefer to drive this one around, so I toot around town in this little car that the lady before me accidentally hit a dog and it's got a little ding on the front bumper of it. I don't know. I believe that was the work, the hand of God. Honestly, I have just kind of learned to be content in whatever state I am in. And so I don't know. It's almost like I drive this car with pride kind of thing. And so as we come into this year, here I've got the word. And it's so interesting because you had said what your word was for last year. Mm-hmm. And I forgot all about that you had told me at the women's conference. But the word this year that I believe that the Lord spoke to me this week is enough. I've really struggled with just not being enough. Enough in every area of my life. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough friend. I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough minister of the gospel. You name it. I don't quite meet the mark is how I have felt most of my life. And honestly, it has been the thing that the enemy has used to steal from me for many years, kind of thing. And so let me tell you what enough means. Enough is an adjective that describes something that is adequate for an intended purpose. Wait a second. Something that is adequate for an intended purpose.
I like that, intended purpose, for an intended purpose.
My life was purposely made by God.
He has an intended purpose for you.
That's right. He has an intended purpose for the listeners, for everybody. He created us for a purpose, you know what I mean? He had a plan and a purpose for our life. And so when I think about that and I think I don't quite measure up, I'm really telling God he's made a mistake. He's messed up, right? Mm-hmm. And so listen to this scripture. I've got several scriptures that God has given me to just take this year and to meditate upon and to go over. Why is that? Because this, unfortunately, is an area of my life that I've battled for many years. And I believe God has given me a bunch of scriptures so that I can take daily and read and just let the renewing of the Word of God do what only the Word of God can do and begin to renew my mind to tell me who I am in Him. Not who I am in this world, not who the things that I have done and my limitations and my struggles and my hardship, but simply what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing that should define you and I. It's what our Father God says about us, not what our funky, flaky friends have said, our spouses, our children, or our past. None of that should define us, correct?
That's right.
And so listen to this, and then you're going to think, Sonia, why this scripture? But it's Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. I love that. Because what that tells me is I was no mistake. I'm made in the very image, in the very likeness of God.
Yes.
And for me to be a mistake, for me to not be enough, means that God has missed the mark. God don't miss the mark. God don't make mistakes. And that's why I'm made in His image and in His likeness. And so I love that about my life is as I meditate upon that this year. Okay, I'm made in His image and in His likeness. So I can be the head and not the tail. I can be above only and not beneath. I can be more than a conqueror. I can be victorious. Why is that? I'm made in His image and His likeness, right?
That's right. And you know, what keeps sticking out to me is you are not a mistake.
That's right.
And you know, in the world's eyes, sometimes parents may think that was a mistake when they got pregnant. But God didn't see it that way.
That's right.
He created you in your mother's womb, and you're not a mistake.
That's right.
God intended a purpose for you, like you said in that enough. He has, and so I just wanted to reiterate that to our listeners that you're not a mistake. I don't care what people have told you. I don't care what family has told you. Whether your parents planned you or not, you were not a mistake. God intended great things for you. And so don't back down off of that.
Amen. That is exactly right. Matter of fact, as you were saying that, Jeremiah 1:5 came to mind. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. You're not one night of passion. You're not.
That's right.
It don't matter how you ended up there. I had this little girl, she's a grown woman now, but when we first moved here to Wheeler and started pastoring, I commented because her brother was 25 years older than her. And I said, wow, there's a lot of years difference and there's no siblings between them. She says, oh, I was an accident. Well, I've never liked that phrase, an accident, because you're not an accident with God. And she says, no, really. She said, my dad had a vasectomy and my mom had her tubes tied. And I said, I'm pretty sure that was the hand of God that he needed to get you here and nothing was going to stop
That's
it.
That's exactly, you know, right.
I knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Oh, my. Now, that is a miracle of God.
Amen. And isn't that powerful when you can think of that? Wait, God so needed me here, he was going to defeat all odds there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I love that. And so if we could grab hold of that, how could that transform each one of our lives? You know what I mean? And so in my life, I am enough. Listen to this scripture. This has been one of my favorite scriptures over the last several years. And it's out of Psalms 139, 13 through 18. It's pretty long, but it is powerful. It says, you formed my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place, carefully and skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. God has created you from nothing to something. You say, well, I'm nothing. Oh, no, you are. He created you from nothing to something.
That's right. You are something.
You are something, which is powerful when you look at that. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. He knew me before, which goes back to Jeremiah 1:5, before I was in my mother's womb. He saw who he created me to be before I became me. I'm no mistake. That's what that tells me. I'm no accident, because he knew who he created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. I love that. Every single moment you're thinking about me. You know, for me, Aaron don't think about me all the time. My boys don't think about me all the time. My friends don't think about me all the time. But my Heavenly Father thinks about me all the time. My parents, when they were alive, they didn't think about me all the time. But my Heavenly Father thinks about me every single moment.
And how do we know that? Because that's what the Word says.
That's what the Word of God says. That's powerful. When I think about that's how much He loves me, that He's thinking about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on His mind. How precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly. Once again, I've not always been cherished. Matter of fact, I don't know about you. Aaron and I have had moments that we've had a disagreement, and I feel very uncherished.
I've had some uncherished moments.
But our Father God cherishes us constantly. And every thought, oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I wake up each morning, you're still with me.
Still with me.
Still with me. The mistakes I've made, the hardships I've walked through, the struggles I've had, guess what? He is still with me.
Read that last part of that verse again, because I want to see if I heard that right, that last part of the verse.
How precious and how wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I wake up each morning, you're still with me.
The key word is when I wake up in the morning. You know, we were just talking, His mercies are new every morning.
Every morning.
And so when you read that, that just, that clicked within me.
I love that.
That when I wake up, He is still with me.
Still with me. Don't matter what you did last night.
That's right.
His mercies are new every morning.
That's right.
Turn to Him, walk toward Him, run after Him, because they're still new. I'll tell you, to just give a quick story, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
So at 15, I was a rebellious teenager, honestly. And I had gotten to drugs, drinking, just honestly numbing my own pain. My dad had had a wreck when I was 10, left him in a coma. My mom became an alcoholic. And I was just living life, just numbing my own pain.
Mm-hmm.
And needless to say, my mom kicked me out of the house at age 15 because I really did get out of control. This couple said that they wanted me. I moved into their house and they sent me to church camp. And honestly, this little rebellious girl that cannot say two words without putting lots of profanity in there and just, you know what I mean? I live for the devil, honestly. They sent me to camp and I thought, eh, whatever. But can I tell you, that would be the place I'd encounter Jesus. And everything that I had experienced up to that moment didn't matter. Everything that had happened to that moment just fell off of me. I didn't want my old flaky, funky friends. I didn't want my old life. Matter of fact, then I had a fear of, oh God, what if my mom asked me to come back and I have to go back to school there? All I wanted was Jesus. And I'd get up at 6 o'clock every morning and I'd read my Bible. I had my alarm set. And then at 9 o'clock that night, I was spending time again in the presence of God, just praying and reading my Bible and just spending time with him in his presence. And you don't hear many 15-year-olds, but I'm telling
you. No, you don't.
When I encountered Jesus, all I wanted was Jesus. What can I do to have more of him? I didn't want that feeling to ever leave. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That love and acceptance.
That's right. And, you know, here I'd gone from having a mom and a dad that cared and loved me and was there to suddenly my whole family becoming dysfunctional and just broken. And my mom, I played all kinds of sports. I sang in the choir. My mom never anything, didn't come to anything. Matter of fact, I was the first to graduate in our family. My mom didn't come to that. And so here I am, kicked out 15, go to church camp, radically get saved. And now you can't shut me up. I am preaching the gospel. Like, we're coming home. We chartered a bus because it was down in, down south of Texas, Columbus, Texas. And so we chartered this bus, 12-hour trip on this chartered bus. Excuse me there. And I am like telling everybody on that bus, everybody's breathing, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to evangelize the world. And all I wanted to do was, I'm telling you, like, I just needed Jesus. And I needed you to have Jesus and everybody else, right?
Yes.
Well, then I'm living with this couple, going to church, radically loving Jesus. And the man of my dreams finally notices me. I laid eyes on him at the age of 14 and thought he was the best thing since sliced bread, right?
Yeah.
I'm a week away from being 17. And he asked me to go on a date with him. And so we go to Kmart Eatery for our first meal.
Oh, I thought it was the Waffle House. But anyway, Kmart Eatery. Kmart Eatery.
What had happened is he asked me, where do you want to go eat? And I said, I don't know, wherever. And if you know me well enough, that's going to be my response even still today. If I'm driving, which he was driving, you tell me where we're going to eat. I'll figure out what to eat there, right? And so he was driving around. He said, Sonia, if you don't tell me, I'm going to pull into Kmart Eatery. And I said, okay. So here we go. We had chicken nuggets, you know, to eat. Everything's going great. Until it wasn't great. You know what I mean? Loving God. I'm preaching at, like, every time we'd go to a football game, I'm stopping a group of young people to preach the gospel. I work at this little burger joint where, over the lunch hour, because I homeschooled. And so I would cook those burgers as fast as I could to pull up a chair in front of the door so these young people can't get out. They are stuck with me. And I'd lock the door, stand up on a chair and preach the gospel. And I would take a lot of these young people with us to church on Wednesday night. I'd pick them up and take them to church Wednesday night or Sunday morning. Well, one day, I get this family I was living with, they had asked me to move out. And so you can imagine that spiral, that bit of a hit. It was a hit. And a few months later, I would pick him up. That's my husband today, the guy I was dating. And he asked me, I pick him up, we go to Sonic to go eat lunch. And he says, Sonia, I think we have to start dating other people. Mind you, I've been kicked out of my mom's. Now I've been asked to move out of this couple's. And a few months later, now Aaron is telling me, who we've been together for over 2 years dating. I believe I'm called to, you know, let's start dating other people. Well, me thinking I'm going to be cool, I say, okay. Because I think if I play this cool, he's going to be like, oh, well, maybe I don't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I say, cool. But what I didn't know is he had a date that night. And it was to a Bible study. It wasn't like they went to dinner and a movie. But it was still, and his mom was there. His mom and him went and picked up this girl. So, I mean, that it was still a date in my mind. Well, then they went and they did another thing together that was a thing like that again. She went to the church as well where we went, and her family went to the church. And the next thing I know, I'm being called in to the leadership and being talked to about my relationship with Aaron. Nobody's getting details. They're hearing this side over here, this family side, but they've not come to me, and to my knowledge, they didn't go to Aaron. And so they're only hearing things. The truth is I got pulled out of all ministry and I felt isolated. I felt rejected. Here, I've been rejected 4 different times. Aaron is still very much so dating me. We're still going out on dates, but this family keeps pulling me in and talking to the leadership and saying, well, they're not, I know Aaron has said that he's not called to marry her, which he says today. He never said that. Anyhow, to make a long story short, in that I would be removed from all ministry positions and I wouldn't be allowed to do anything for a couple of years because of that. And
for years, not talking months, but years.
Years. And it would have been some of the darkest days, because what would happen is the rejection I felt. It was, and the enemy's smart. He knows what he's doing. He rejected me at 15. He rejected me at 18. He rejected me with Aaron. Now I'm walking through this rejection. Here I'm, for all intents and purposes, I'm an orphan. And I don't have anybody on my side because I live on my own. I'm trying to finish up my high school year, my senior year of high school. And I'm trying to finish up, or I'm working a full-time job to support myself. I would go through the next 2 years with holidays that I wouldn't go anywhere because I wouldn't get invited. I felt completely rejected by the church as a whole. And so Thanksgivings, Christmases, stuff, I would be at home alone. So I say all that to say you can see how the enemy started at age 15 years old, and this would stop when I was 20. Aaron ended up going to the leadership and said, I believe that God's told me I'm supposed to marry her. And then everything kind of was a reset. We got married a few months later, and you can imagine everything kind of changes because, well, now the man has directly said he's chosen me, kind of thing. But yes, for those 2 years, because he didn't say anything, unfortunately, I would feel that effect over and over. And so in those 5 years, what happened is the enemy, I can see it today, he was defining my life. He was trying to get me to feel like I don't matter, that I'm not enough. And I believe that's what today has caused me to step into that, of just that struggling of that I'm not enough. I don't quite meet the mark. But to back up, a few years ago, I started going to a new doctor, and she highly recommended me to go to counseling because of the trauma from my past. She said the two most traumatic things a child will walk through or could walk through is an alcoholic or drug addict parent or the loss of a parent. And she said, Sonia, you didn't have one of those. You had both of those. And so I start going to EMDR therapy, trauma recovery, walking through some of the past. And this just been a few years ago. We're not talking about, you know, when all this took place. This man, that's my counselor, and Aaron's most of the time with me. He said, I'd been going to him for a few months, and I walk in and he says, Sonia, the Lord, I believe, spoke something to me last night about you. And he had this whiteboard, and I'll never forget it. He turns this whiteboard around where I can read it, and it said, you feel that you don't matter. And I began to cry because I think for the first time I could finally put into words exactly how I felt, because I have felt from the age of 15 I'm easily replaced.
Yes.
I'm easily just forgotten about. You know what I mean? I don't matter enough to hold on tightly and keep that person. And so that's how the enemy used those 5 years to try to define who I am. Well, fast forward, here I married the man of my dreams. We have a good marriage. We're in full-time ministry doing youth ministry. Then we come to Wheeler and we're pastoring this church. And Aaron, throughout the time, would say, Sonia, I believe you're called to preach. I want you to preach. Mind you, you couldn't get me to shut up. All I would do was preach. which was really the thing that caused Aaron to be attracted to me from the get-go, was the fire. I just wanted you to know about Jesus. You know what I mean? And now you can't get me to open my mouth. You know what I mean? I've gone backwards. Because within those 5 years, the enemy began to just lie to me. I don't matter. I'm not enough.
Attacking you through your mind.
He's attacking me through my mind. I had somebody that one time told me that I'm not a good speaker, that I don't make sense when I speak. And I've had different things throughout my life that people have made comments, and it hits, because I believe that's exactly what I'm created to do, is to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, why is he not going to come and directly attack? And so I say all that to say, as I'm going into this year, I don't think it's by accident, because every year I get, like I said earlier, God, forgive me for where I've missed it. Forgive me for those times that Aaron will feel led that I'm to preach a message or whatever, and I'm like, I can't do it. Because I still have those moments, unfortunately. You know what I mean? Because I've only been preaching for 6 years, as far as in the auditorium or whatever, to people.
Recently.
Yes.
Yes.
So here I stopped preaching altogether at about 18. And I'm just now picking it up 6 years later. I mean, just now 6 years ago. And because the enemy came in to define me, to identify me. So as we're going into this year, and the word enough and these scriptures that he's given me, I very much so believe it's because God's got big things, and what he's doing is renewing my mind. No, Sonia, that's what the enemy says about you. That's what circumstances says about you. That's what maybe even people at that moment kind of felt about you. But that's not what I say about you. And none of that stuff matters. Only what I say about you matters. Only what I say about you and my word can define who you are.
That's right. And so only what God says about you, listeners, that's who you are. Not what everybody else says.
Amen.
That's who we are.
That's who we are.
And during that 5 years, tell me a little bit about your spiritual life. What happened to you during that 5 years when you were asked to step away from ministry and you were left alone?
When I was asked to step away from ministry, I would lay my Bible down. Where I couldn't get enough of the word, I suddenly didn't want to touch the word. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to read my Bible. And I really had felt God had left me. But the truth is he had never left me. And scripture says that he is closer to me than a brother. He was there all the time pulling me in, which is probably why today I'm still right here. It's because he never left me. You know, matter of fact, that scripture going back, when I wake up each morning, you're still with me.
Mm-hmm.
You're still with me. But because of what man did and said, it was the thing to cause me to pull all the ways back. And I allowed men. And I don't think their hearts were ugly. I think they just didn't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
We can make bad choices. But unfortunately, the enemy used some of those bad choices to define who I was. And so in that, I did. I didn't walk away from God. I still went to church. I still loved God. But I stopped reading my Bible. I stopped praying like I had been. I would pray here and there, you know, oh God, you know, whatever, you know, da 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 da. But that I did not have the prayer time in the presence of God like I had before that.
So would you say that would be maybe a form of maybe quitting?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what the enemy came to do. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes in like a roaring lion seeking whom he shall devour. Why is that? I'm a threat to the enemy.
That's right.
Why would he not want to stop me? Because the fact is if I would ever step out and do, because I was already a threat. Everywhere I went, I preached the gospel and people would get saved and I'd take them to church. I was a threat. He needed to stop me. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if I could have seen that at that moment, I couldn't. I was blinded. It was, oh, poor, pitiful me. I have nobody on my side. I have nobody. And I was looking at people to meet a need that only a God can meet.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because he knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He formed me and created me on purpose for a purpose. And here I was allowing people to identify me, to define me, when they don't have the rights to do that.
And so you said, I just quit.
I just quit. That's right. And I don't know that I had the mental thought of it.
But you unconsciously did it. Yeah.
Just unconsciously. And the truth is it'd be a few years into marriage, full-time ministry, that I'd have to confess that to my husband. Not that I had to confess it, but I just told him, I said, listen, whenever I got asked, or not asked, told to step down from all ministry positions at that moment, I don't know, something was stolen from me. And I feel like I can't get it back. And you can imagine Sonia was in tears because I wanted that fire and that zeal for God. I wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
But I had lost it. Mm-hmm. And thank God I'm married. That's why it's so important we put ourselves around godly people. Because you can imagine, once he hears that, he's like sending me stuff and speaking the word and speaking life over me. And he has on multiple occasions apologized. If I could ever go back to that moment, Sonia, I'd redo it. And I'll tell you, he was so afraid of marriage. He was so scared of it. And he would always tell me, Sonia, I believe maybe I'm called to be like the Apostle Paul and stay single. And what I really needed was a dad. I needed a dad at that point to just say, listen, stop messing with my daughter's emotions. Because I think had I had a father at that moment, none of the rest of that would have happened. But I didn't. And I think Aaron would have just rose up to the occasion, because he had felt when we first started dating, he had told me, he said, I believe that the Lord told me if I'll honor you as the as his daughter, that I'll have your hand in marriage. This was within the first month maybe of us dating.
You know, are you 17? Serious?
Yes.
Wow.
And so here we are 4 years down the road that he's like, oh God, I don't know, you know.
Yes.
And so, but I do, I think the enemy does that. He tries to define who we are, and he don't get the right to do that. Can I go real quick? I want to tell you.
Yes, absolutely.
Just as we're going this, because we're talking about the new year and how the past can kind of
try to define us.
Yes. And so we get to the new year and, oh God, I'm going to read my Bible every day and I'm going to go to church every Sunday and I'm going to get involved. And then we get a month in and we don't go to church the rest of the year, and we get to the end of it and we're like, oh God, I said I was going to, right? And we see it every year and we do it and do our own thing.
Yes.
But listen to this. So here I'm talking about myself and where the enemy is trying to define me and try to stop me. And this is a scripture that I've got in my, I am enough, right? Listen to this, what I believe that the Lord spoke to me. It's out of Exodus 3, 11 and 12. It says, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And God answered, I will be with you. See, that's been the problem of my life. God, it. Who am I to stand up in front of the people and preach the gospel? Who am I to be on this radio station? If y'all only knew how fearful every time Emily asked me to do this, and I'm like, oh God, who am I? Who am I? Right?
Right.
But I believe that's what God said to me. I will be with you. God is with me. Listen to this scripture out of Matthew 28:20. It says, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age. He's with me every day. And so even in my weaknesses, even when I feel that I come up short and I make a commitment at the first of the year, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to whatever. Da, da, da. The list goes on. And you say, oh, God, who am I? Because here I fall short a month into this commitment. He says, nope, I will be with you.
I like how he asked a question. He didn't even answer the question. He basically said the answer to that is it doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm with you.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good.
It doesn't matter. It is not about who you are. What matters is I am with you.
Amen.
And that's all that really matters.
That's all that matters. I am that I am is with you.
Yes.
I love that. I love that.
Would you pray for our listeners that, you know, maybe they are trying to define themselves from the past, or they're trying to move forward to get out of some of the things that, you know, the enemy has tried to define them by certain things that have happened in their life. But just pray for those people that are in that situation.
Yes. Father, I thank you, God, for these listeners. I thank you for Natalie and myself, Father. Mm-hmm. Lord, that as we go into this new year, Father, that the weights of the past, the things that's trying to hold us back, whether it's of our own accord, what we've done, what we've said, or what has been done to us and said to us, that, Father, we can just let those weights go and yes. let them fall off of us in the name of Jesus. I declare that, Father, that you have created us to be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, more than conquerors. You have created us to be, full of life, Lord,
yes.
that we can show forth your glory, that, Father God, that we can show forth who you are, that when people encounter us, they encounter Jesus. And so, Father God, as we go into this year, Lord, let us be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Let us be the men and the women that reaches other people for the kingdom of God. And let us be all that you've created us to be. Let us say all that we're to say and do what we're called to do in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that you go before us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And so as I think about this, and I think about that scripture that you just read, who am I? And he says, I am with you. You know, it all goes back to when God created us for that purpose, and he has intended for us to accomplish certain things here. All he wants us to do is to say yes.
Amen.
He doesn't say, because you're this person and you've been to school this to do this, or you've been trained in this area, this is why I want you to do it. No, when he said, who am I? He says, I am with you.
Amen.
And so that's what I really want to encourage our listeners today, is just say yes.
Just say yes.
Who are you? Who am I that I can even do this? Well, that don't matter. What matters is that God is with you, and he will take you where he wants you to go. And he will equip us
Amen.
For what he has called us to do and where he's leading us to go.
Amen. Yes, absolutely. And you know what? There ain't nothing better than yes. Because he knows at the end what it looks like.
And so to be, and like what you said, and to show up in heaven and say, hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servants. And now here I'm presenting you these treasures, but then we lay those at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Because he is what we did those things for.
And there will be nothing better. The things that we have experienced here on earth will be nothing compared to heaven.
That's right. You know, it makes me think in closing, it makes me think about the analogy that Aaron did one day or one Sunday, and it was a rope that it went all the way around the church. And so imagining this rope, I'm going to guess 100, 200 feet long.
Yeah.
But 1 inch of it was our life. What we are doing here on earth, we have 1 inch compared to 200 to 300 feet, which is compared to eternity. Mm-hmm. And so why not invest into what our eternity is versus what's going to be here?
Absolutely. Because this is such a short, short time, a short-lived moment of history. It's a blink of an eye, Scripture says, right? And I think how we live here will determine heaven. Meaning if we think we can live however and get into heaven by the skin of our teeth, you're going to be sadly mistaken. You might get to heaven. Praise God, you're in heaven. You made it. But man, there's so much more. There's so much more to get into heaven than just getting to heaven.
Well, and you know, we're talking about heavenly rewards, and those are all good too. But I believe in living for the things of God, you will experience things here on earth.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, of course we're going to go through tribulations. Of course we're going to go. We are in a world with an enemy where we are going to experience things in our life that we don't like. But then there's the other things that he's given us the power to overcome and to live and to be victorious.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
So we just want to say good night, and we thank you guys so much for tuning in. We want to say Happy New Year. And so for this new year, let's just set out to say yes to God.
Yes.
Let's just say yes to God. And okay, I may have messed up today, but when tomorrow starts, that's going to be my new beginning. Now, yeah. I know I'm not going to wait till the next year, but I'm going to start. When I realize that, okay, I've gotten off, I'm going to restart now. and I'm not going to wait.
Because he's always with us, and his mercies are new every morning. We can't forget that.
That's right. And he's with us when we wake up.
That's right.
I love that part. That scripture says he's with us when we wake up.
Amen.
He's with us. And so God is with you, so he just wants you to say yes. And so we just want to say Happy New Year, and we will see you guys next week.
Yes, ma'am. God is on the-